harsher than the day when the oppressor used to wrong the oppressed. The imam means that the oppressed should not sit idle against oppressors. They should rather try to react to oppressors decisively to deter them and make them regret. We read in the history of Islam that Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, in every battle used to first advise the enemies and guide them to the right path. But once they persisted in their adamancy, the Prophet would start fighting them. Interestingly, besides the faithless, most of the Jews who had racist inclinations like the modern Zionists used to disturb the Prophet of Islam. They were so rude that they said to the Prophet that God's hand is tied up. But Allah answered them in verse 64 of chapter Ma'idah. The Jews say, Allah's hand is tied up. Tied up be their hands, and cursed be they for what they say. Rather, his hands are wide open. He bestows as he wishes. Surely many of them will be increased by what has been sent to you from your Lord in rebellion and unfaith. And we have cast enmity and hatred amongst them until the day of resurrection. Every time they ignite the flames of war, Allah puts them out. They seek to cause corruption on the earth, and Allah does not like the agents of corruption. This verse calls such Jews, modern Zionists, as the agents of corruption on the earth. Another verse of chapter Ma'idah refers to corruption and the killing of the innocent by the Jews, saying, That's why we decreed for the children of Israel that whoever kills a soul without its being of guilty of manslaughter or corruption on the earth is as though he had killed all mankind, and whoever saves a life is as though he had saved all mankind. Our apostles certainly brought them manifest signs, yet even after that, many of them commit excess on the earth. The Noble Quran has spoken in many verses about the obstinacy and endless disturbances of Jews towards Prophet Moses and their indecent deeds and murdering of innocent people in the time of the Prophet of Islam. Muslims have always been harmed and wronged by Jews who are today's Zionists, regardless of their religion, as some of the US and European officials have openly announced to be Zionists. The world has witnessed innumerable oppressions of Zionists to the defenseless Palestinian people for over 75 years. The Islamic Republic of Iran, too, has experienced the enmity of the fabricated Zionist regime since the victory of the Islamic Revolution and the birth of the Islamic Republic system in 1979. This sinister regime even played an active role in suppression of the people during the struggles of the Islamic Revolution, as the security agents of the Shah's regime were trained by Israeli notorious criminal spying apparatus, the Mossad. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution too, the Israeli agents trained the MKO terrorists and even armed them to murder the laymen here and there. Israel's criminal record is not limited to this, as the fake regime, during the 8-year imposed war of Saddam against Iran, stood beside the Iraqi dictator against the Islamic Republic of Iran. The criminal actions of the Zionist regime against Islamic Iran have continued through decades by assassination of religious, scientific, and military elite for the past decades. These actions have been done in full coordination with the pressures that the U.S. and its European allies have enforced against the Islamic Republic to halt its progresses in various fields. But the Islamic Republic, based on the teachings of the Noble Quran and the practice of the Prophet of Islam and his infallible progeny, has pioneered to defend the oppressed and fight the oppressor. Iran enjoys peaceful and friendly engagement with neighbors and non-aggressive countries. Yet, when it faces open enmity of the front of arrogance and global Zionism, symbolized by the U.S. and Israel, it will not hesitate to give the fitting penal response. The Islamic Republic of Iran will never withdraw from its just and logical stances. The missile and drone attack to the Zionist regime in mid-April in response to the regime's crime of murdering Iran's military advisors in its consulate in Damascus was unprecedented in the global arena and a turning point not just in the history of the Islamic Revolution, but the resistance front and the world at large. Iran had sent General Mohammad Reza Zahedi and some other military advisors upon the official request of the Syrian government. After the Israeli illegal and criminal measure, the IRGC attack on a few Israeli military targets was done according to Iran's legitimate right to defend its territory and interests. The IRGC powerful missiles and drones smashed the military bases of the Zionist regime and caused unprecedented horror and trauma in the Zionist camp and its cohorts and backers in the front of arrogance. As the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said several years ago, "The era of hit and run has passed." Thus, whenever the Zionist regime dares to cause the least harm on Iran's interest and territory, it will face a crushing, colossal response.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, the true role model. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you are listening to A to Z, and we want to talk about the true role model. Well, if you look at Quran, it guides us in all aspects of our life. So one of the aspects of life is the reality of the ideals. We cannot live our life not as a person but as a human phenomenon. We cannot live our life without a role model, without ideals. Whether you are a religious person, whether you are non-religious person, whoever you are, you have a role model in your life. And that role model, that ideal affects your behavior, affects your thoughts. So let's ask Quran what it says about the role models and the role they play in our life. Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And keep yourself patient in the company of those who pray to their Lord morning and evening, seeking His countenance. And you do not turn your eyes away from them, seeking the adornment of the early life. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, so that he has followed his own lust, and whose behavior has exceeded the limits. So here Quran is talking about a role model. A role model which can play a very influential role in our lives. Thank you. Welcome back. You are listening to A to Z. We are talking about the true role model. Well, I recited a verse from Quran which says that you should always look towards the people of virtue. You should always look towards the people who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ. Keep yourself patient by looking and being with those who always are connected to God through their prayers. So who are those? Those are the chosen ones. Those are the saints. Those are awliyaullah who always are connected to God through prayers. So Quran is telling us, if you want to have a role model, if you want to have an ideal in your life, the best ideal for you are those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the supreme being, the one who is the source of all the beauty, who is the source of all the goodness. So those people, those selected and chosen people, who are the people of virtue, who are the people of wisdom, Quran is telling us that you should always look towards them. You should always make them your role model and ideals. Only in this way you can be patient in your life. It's not easy to be patient. It's not easy to face your own inner desires. It's not easy to face the challenges of life. So where to find the help? Well, the help lies when you look upon the people of virtue, when you look upon those heroes of virtue, when you look upon those heroes of wisdom who had lived their life with wisdom and virtue in every moment of their life. So Quran is telling us that just direct yourself by looking upon towards some personalities who are the personalities of virtue to take the help from their guidance. May Allah help us to look upon the people of virtue, Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, and help us to be the people of virtue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
The vast majority of Gaza are currently living in tents, located in makeshift camps, due to the Zionist regime's systematic targeting of UN shelters, schools, hospitals, and even mosques and churches. Living in a tent, however, is not equivalent to safety, as many air strikes and artillery shelling have targeted the encampments across various regions of the besieged Gaza Strip. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, "The Palestine Chronicle spoke with two Palestinians currently displaced in the city of Deir al-Balah in the central Gaza Strip. Amid the unparalleled scale of death and destruction, at least 1.9 million people were displaced by the Zionist regime's genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, according to UN figures. The total population of Gaza, at least prior to the war, was 2.3 million people. The vast majority of these people are currently living in tents, located in makeshift camps, due to Israel's systematic targeting of UN shelters, schools, hospitals, and even mosques and churches. Living in a tent, however, is not equivalent to safety, as many airstrikes and artillery shelling have targeted the encampments across various regions of the besieged Gaza Strip. Moreover, the living conditions in the tents are extremely poor, especially following an unusual heat wave in the Gaza Strip, which reportedly already killed 2 children. Philip Lazzarini, UNRWA Commissioner General, explained recently that Palestinians living in the tents have to endure death, hunger, disease, displacement, and now living in greenhouses-like structures under scorching heat. The Palestine Chronicle spoke with two Palestinians currently displaced in the city of Deir al-Balah in the central Gaza Strip. Hajjo Shaima al-Isabi is living in a tent with her family after escaping from the Hamad towers in the southern city of Khan Yunis, which was targeted by the occupation forces. Al-Isabi told the Palestine Chronicle, "The tent is extremely hot, and the overall situation is very difficult. There are insects everywhere, and the heat is intense, and it's impossible to adapt to this life," she added. "Children suffer from everything. Although we constantly clean the tent, there are insects everywhere." Al-Isabi and her family remained homeless when the Zionist regime completely destroyed the city of Hamad. She said, "We managed to buy an apartment in Hamad with great difficulty. We were very happy, but the occupation did not give us time to enjoy living in it. When the war broke out, we were forced to flee from our house, and we found out that it was completely destroyed." Al-Isabi fled to the Nusayrat refugee camp and then settled in Deir al-Balah, she said. "We spent the winter struggling with severe cold in the tents, and now we are suffering from the heat." Al-Isabi's husband, who suffers from heart disease, expressed his desire to go back to Hamad, so they decided to go back, and they lived in their destroyed house for a week, she explained. "Then the occupation forces invaded the city again, and it was a very difficult week under intense bombardment. When they tried to leave, however, they were forced to cross Israeli checkpoints. On their third attempt, Israeli occupation forces arrested Al-Isabi's husband, while the rest of the family managed to return to the tents in Deir al-Balah." She said, "My husband has a heart condition and cannot endure torture or imprisonment. I hope he will be released soon," she said in a shaky voice. "Our life means nothing without him. We rely on him for everything. We hope the war will end and we can live in safety. Even amid extreme conditions, however, Palestinians continue to show incredible resilience. Many refugees decided to organize activities and set up schools in the encampments to allow children to study despite the war. Haj Akram Al-Ajuri fled from Jabalia refugee camp in the north to Nuseirat in central Gaza and remained there for a month. When the Zionist regime forces invaded Nuseirat, Al-Ajuri and his family headed to Rafah, where they stayed for a month and a half. Later, they returned to Nuseirat for 20 days before settling in tents in the city of Deir al-Balah. Al-Ajuri told the Palestine Chronicle, "In all the encampments, I have organized beautiful activities for the displaced people, including events to praise the Prophet Muhammad." He explained, "One of the refugees, who was a teacher, dedicated a tent to educate children." Al-Ajuri added, "The occupation deprived our children of education since the beginning of the war. Therefore, these activities are very important. We will look for other activities to support our children. We hope the war will end soon and the suffering we endure will end and we can return to our homes safely, God willing."
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program, The Last Savior. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have Brother Alavian to discuss another topic related to the topic of Mahdaviya or Mahdism and the topic Last Savior, which is related to Imam Alas, Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajalallah. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ali. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Brother Ali Alavian. In our previous discussion, we talked about the resemblance between Imam Alas, Imam Al-Mahdi, Ajalallah, and the sun behind the cloud. You elaborated on some of the ahadith related to this topic and why Imam Alas is called or is resembled, is likened to the sun behind the cloud. Now, your discussion remained incomplete.
Yes.
You said that Imam Al-As is the source of blessings of Allah on earth. That's why it is like a sun. Whether behind the cloud or over the cloud, he is still the source of benefits and blessings of Allah for all the creatures, not only humanity, but all the creatures.
Yeah, this is a very beautiful and at the same time very famous and known hadith that Imam alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is likened to the sun behind the clouds. And we said that there are some what we call them wajhu shabah, that is the reasons for such a simile. That what are the reasons that we usually say that Imam is likened to such a thing? And we refer to some four of them that we said that no one can deny the existence of the sun while it is available and it exists when a cloud is in front of it. But the next point that I want to mention to say that why Imam al-Islam was titled as the sun behind the cloud is that sometimes it is necessary for the sun to be behind the cloud. I mean, because the nature, I mean, the environment actually obliges, I mean, the whole structure to be so. I mean, there is no way around. I mean, for another benefit, what is the other benefit for the rain to come to the inhabitant of the earth, right? So sometimes it is even necessary. I mean, there is no way around. I mean, we have to accept that the sun should be behind the cloud.
Yes.
But even at the time that he is behind the cloud, its benefits are there. What are the benefits? The same light is there, as we said. Rain is coming again. Another benefit, right? Rain is falling. Yes. So the benefits are already there. I mean, people are not going to lose any of those benefits. Mm-hmm. The only benefit is that the only great loss that they have, they cannot see Imam very closely. To be in touch with him that much.
The cloud is like a whale. But
though even some the closed ones, even they have this opportunity and chance to have the honor of meeting Imam Ali Sallallahu Alaihi and visiting him. The next benefit of it is that at the time that Imam is in occultation and like a sun is behind the cloud, is sometimes good for people. They know the other people that they are living in their communities in the world better, even without the presence of that top personality. What do I mean? Suppose that you are working in a factory, and every time you see the boss there and all the other workers are working properly, but sometimes when there is no boss, I mean, he is, for example, on leave.
Yes.
So you see the interaction of the workers are different, like ordinary times. I mean, that the boss was already there.
They are not under any control or supervision. That's right.
So you see,
they feel free.
So it's even good for people to come to a sort of knowledge, to a sort of cognition that, oh, when there is no boss, so there will be a chaos sometimes in the factory, right?
So an eye over us will work
sometimes, the next point that we wanted to talk about and mention is that for those who have problem with the eyesight, they cannot directly look at the sun when, directly, when there is sun in the sky.
Okay. No one can do that.
Yeah, then, I mean, the eyes will be harmed.
Will be
right?
hurt, that's right, okay.
But when there is a cloud in front of the sun, at least there is a minimum chance for them to look at the sky directly, the place that the sun is there.
Right,
so they can find this chance again to the radiations of the sun. I mean,
beautiful sun, that's right. So you mean by this is that sometimes it is good for Imam to be in whale? You mean direct access to the Imam
This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now, the experience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood for his creatures. Mm-hmm. So for this time, people are in need of this situation, but it does not mean that the sun should always be kept behind the clouds.
Okay. If Imam is resembled to the sun behind the cloud is usually seen by the people who are living on earth.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very much like those people who, through a spiritual perfection, can go beyond the cloud. Mm-hmm. And then on that side of the cloud, they could see the very face of Imam al-As. I mean, through a spiritual perfection,
definitely,
you can find the chance of visiting the Imam as a son beyond, behind, but beyond the clouds.
That's true. Look, we are actually likening the existence of Imam to this to make it more tangible and understandable for those who are talking about Imam and they are asking by themselves, I mean, what is the benefit of an absent or, I don't know, an Imam who is in occultation? But we have to understand that one of the duties of Imam is to make the people perfected.
Yes.
This wayfaring and stepping in the way of perfection is something that comes through Imam and it is giving through Imam to the creatures, right? When he, I mean, as you rightly said, he passes the clouds, I mean, or she passes the clouds and goes higher and higher. It is through him that he taught us, the Imam and the prophets in the course of history, they taught us how to start and step in such a way. So they are the real tutors and teachers of this wayfaring journey. So the next point is that when the sun is behind the cloud, its benefit, we say that it's for everyone unless the person is blind and cannot see it.
Yes.
I mean, this blind, when I'm talking about this spiritual blind, I mean the person cannot accept that this sun shines anymore.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain. Close the bright morning.
Still, Imam is giving benefit to them, isn't it?
Very true.
Okay. Imam is giving they are not absorbing these benefits.
They are not able to absorb. Uh-huh. I mean, Imam is the manifestation of Rahmatullah al-Wasa'.
Yes. Okay.
Right? I mean, Imam, when he's actual manifestation of names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way that Allah gives, Imam gives, right? Mm-hmm. So Imam is not, take refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not miser.
Mm-hmm.
So Imam gives as much as Allah gives.
All right? Giving, yes.
Yeah. So the next point is that when we can consider the times that, I mean, the sun is behind the cloud, I mean, so because the light is less than the time that the sun was there in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So people, while they are sitting at homes, they are usually open more windows or more doors to receive more light, right?
Yes. Yes.
So as much as we open more windows, more doors, more gates, we will be that receptive towards Imam alayhi salam.
Yes.
So we now understood the importance of this sun which is hidden.
Yes.
So we need to open more gates. I mean, not like ordinary days. I mean, like at the time of, for example, at the time that I was living, that Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sadr alayhi salam was alive. No.
Yes.
So my duty is different. So I need to go for other gates and doors to make them open. So again, this duty comes on me as a duty-bound person. So my duties are different. I need to be more receptive of radiance and sunshine of this blessed existence.
And just consider a person who is waking up in the early morning, keeping away, I mean, the curtains in the house using the sunlight and sunshine. How beautiful it is, the sunshine and sunlight for such a person. The reappearance of Imam al-As for the world will be like a real sunshine.
So when Imam al-Masum and the infallible Imam actually likened the existence of Imam to this, I mean, it was an artistic and really, at the same time, a divine simile that was given and was said. And I mean, it was well said.
In no better way he could explain it to the public.
Yeah, so from any aspect and dimension, you look at it, I mean, it has its own beauties and sweetness.
Okay.
The next point is that the sun itself is the center of solar system.
Yes.
Not only the earth. The center of the solar system. The same way Imam is going to be the center of the whole creations.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The center of the world of possibility.
Possibilities.
That is, he is, as we said, manifestation of names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when there is a cloud in the sky, people will know the value and worth of sun more than the time that they are not deprived of the sun.
Yes.
Right? So we know, we know that, I mean, when the sun was there, for example, those whose job are, I mean, just using for the radiance and shines of the sun.
Yes.
Their daily affairs actually goes through that.
Okay.
So they will understand the importance of this light more while there is a cloud in front of it. So now it's for us to know, to understand how important this Imam is.
أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتدوا من أجل السالك أهدى سنه.
So this being an Imam, I mean, like a sun behind the cloud, also as you said, that's right, makes a kind of motivation. It's kind of stimulation among the people in order to be a source of inspiration for the people to try more, to struggle more in order to reach the truth behind the clouds, and that is through spiritual perfection and growth. Without that, you cannot have the chance of visiting the shining face of the Imam.
Very true.
That's
very beautiful.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
This actually, what we call it, Ibaratul Ukhra, that is a paraphrase, a beautiful paraphrase of the whole.
Okay, that's right.
The next point is that those who do not have the readiness of visiting or seeing the sun directly, at least at the time that there is a cloud in front of it, they have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to prepare themselves, I mean, to use and to equip themselves with glasses or whatever it is needed. So to get prepared for the arrival of the sun, when the sun, I mean, when the clouds are going away. So the same way at the time of the cultivation of Imam Ali Salam.
Yes.
So people are understanding the importance of it,
yes,
and they are ready to receive the shining of the sun.
That's right.
So the same way that at the time of occultation, people are trying their best. Those believers, those mu'mineen, those who are waiting for the arrival and advent of Imam Ali Salam, they are preparing themselves for that time to come. One more important point here I want to refer is that when the clouds are going to go away and actually the sun is going to show itself and to shine, it doesn't happen in no time.
Yes.
So slowly, slowly it happens, right?
Yes.
I mean, the clouds usually move very slowly. The same way we understand that the arrival and advent of Imam should be a gradual process.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that even his occultation was a gradual process.
Yes.
First it started with Laylat al-Sughra, minor occultation, and then it became major occultation. And the appearance of Imam should be like that. So there are some levels for the reappearance and advent of Imam alayhi salam. But what is important, what is quite sure, is that the sun will not stay behind the cloud forever.
Mm-hmm. That's all right.
Yeah.
It is
finally, at the end of the day, it will come out of this position and the sun will shine over the earth.
Just consider the situation. I think recently we had one instance of the solar eclipse, isn't it?
Yeah.
All across the world, that the people, you know, could not, the full view of the sun could not be obscured.
Yeah.
You know, when the full obscure of the sun is not available and the view is not over there, a dark, dark world is waiting for you. It would be very much frightening, I mean, without that. So without the presence of Imam, which is the source of the shining star, the world would not be a good place
very
at all to live.
Very true.
That's right. So the people are all, I mean, the true awaiters are waiting for that shining day, that is the day of
and
the Zuhur.
It will definitely happen, inshallah.
Yes. And the reappearance of Imam Asmi, may Allah hasten his reappearance, inshallah. Thank you very much,
You're
Brother
welcome.
Ali Alevian, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Last Savior. For more information, visit our website at parstudio.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where shining moon, where is the firmest glow? Please, oh please, please come. Please, oh, oh, oh. Please come.
In the limelight.
The anti-Gaza war protest movement has revived the Palestinian national cause, and a new generation of American Jews are challenging the claim that Zionism owns their narrative. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, once again, Colombia has been at the center of the revolt, with an encampment protesting Israel's assault, sparking a wave of similar actions on college campuses across the U.S. Colombia, Yale, and Harvard are all in the crosshairs of this student revolt because of the university's ties with the fabricated child-killing regime of Israel. At Columbia, students are demanding the university end its investments in the tech giants Amazon and Google, which have a $1.2 billion cloud computing contract with the government in Tel Aviv. At Yale, students are demanding the university divest from all weapons manufacturing companies contributing to Israel's assault on Palestine. Yale has exchanged students with 7 Israeli universities. Harvard has programmed with 3 of these universities, while Columbia has relations with 4 of them. As in 1968, many of these protests have been met by force. Columbia President Nemat Minoush Shafiq ordered the NYPD to disperse the encampment of 50 tents on the South Lawn, which led to the arrest of 100 Columbia and Barnard College students, including the daughter of U.S. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. The students were also suspended from school and told they would not be able to finish their academic semester. At Yale, 50 protesters were arrested on charges of aggravated trespassing. At Ohio, demonstrators were beaten and tasered. Nearly 900 protesters have been arrested nationwide since the original confrontation at Columbia on April 18th. And none of this is new. In 1970, the Ohio National Guard opened fire on protesters, killing 4 and wounding 9 students in what became known as the Kent State Massacre. Then, as now, police brutality against students has only caused the protests to spread. Hours after the administration shut down an encampment at Princeton, hundreds of students occupied a central courtyard, bringing books, laptops, and blank canvases to set up a popular university for Gaza. Faculty members joined in, leading teach-ins and discussions. Police have been called into 15 universities across the U.S., and there are protests in a further 22 other universities and colleges. The U.S. protests have spread to British universities, although they have received less media attention. At Trinity College, Cambridge, the portrait of Lord Balfour, the British Foreign Secretary responsible for a statement recognizing the right of Jews to a homeland in Palestine, was defaced and slashed before being removed by the university. London has just seen its 13th national demonstration since the war began. The protests against the war in Gaza, in their persistence and size, are only matched by the million-plus demonstration against Tony Blair's decision to invade Iraq, which in 2003 was the biggest of its kind. The protest movement is having a deep effect on Gaza itself because, for once, the Palestinian people enduring this onslaught do not feel they are on their own. Palestinian journalist and content creator Bisan Auda said, "Keep going because you are our only hope. And we promise we will hold our ground and tell you the truth always. And please don't let their violence scare you. They don't have any other options but to silence and terrify you because you are demolishing decades of brainwashing." Auda is right. If the targets of 1968 protest movement were the Pentagon or the repressive patriotism of a Galilee state, the targets today are Zionism and Israel's armamers in the US, the UK, and Germany. This is the pro-Israel lobby libeling and smearing politicians as anti-Semitic for their support of Palestine. They are the ones causing godless and panicky universities to kick lecturers out of their jobs. They see themselves as the Democrats, but their hands are deep in the toolkit of fascists. They endanger the rule of law, free speech, and the right to protest. Spearheading the revolt against Zionism is a new generation of Jews who are turning up in increasing numbers at these protests. One student at Columbia and 2 at Barnard explained why. We choose to be arrested in the movement for Palestinian liberation because we are inspired by our Jewish ancestors who fought for freedom 4,000 years ago. When the people entered our encampment, we locked arms and sang civil rights era songs that many of our more recent ancestors recited in 1960s. We belong to the legacy of progressive Jewish activism that has worked across race, class, and religious lines to transform our communities, unquote. The Jewish students said the arrest and brutalization of over 100 pro-Palestinian Columbia students is the worst act of violence on our campus in decades. The moment Columbia asked the NYPD to arrest hundreds of student protesters, our university normalized a culture in which political differences are met with violence and hostility. As we write this, Israeli students passing by call us animals in Hebrew because they think none of us will understand, reminiscent of Israeli War Minister Yoav Gallant's remarks that Palestinians in Gaza are human animals. The Gaza war is causing an unprecedented debate among Jewry, with leading intellectuals like the Canadian journalist Naomi Klein arguing that Zionism is a false idol that has taken the idea of the promised land and turned it into a deed of sale for a militaristic ethno-state. Klein wrote, "From the start, it has produced an ugly kind of freedom that saw Palestinian children not as human beings, but as demographic threats, much as the Pharaoh in the book of Exodus feared the growing population of Israelites and thus ordered the death of their sons. Zionism has brought us to our present moment of cataclysm, and it is time that we said clearly, it has always been leading us here. It is a false idol that has led far too many of our own people down a deeply immoral path that now has them justifying the shredding of core commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet." These events will not be without their consequences. In the immediate future, the anti-Gaza war movement has revived the Palestinian national cause as never before. Fading graffiti commemorating PLO's battles in refugee camps in Lebanon have been replaced by bright new symbols celebrating the attack on October 7th. The inverted triangle depicting Hamas parachuting over the barrier in Gaza is everywhere. Each demonstration around the world is headed by the Palestinian diaspora, which has reacted in the opposite way to what was intended by the Zionist regime and its supporters. The Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu thought that if he killed off the elders, their sons and daughters would forget the struggle. Instead, Netanyahu has recreated and reinforced the bond of Palestinians everywhere to their lost land. Ask Palestinians in the Jordanian refugee camp of Hittin where their home is, and the overwhelming answer is Gaza or the West Bank. This move of support has similarly undone years of planning to disconnect the Palestinian cause from the Arab world. Events helped. The Arab Spring and its suppression and the civil wars that followed supplanted Palestine as the main source of news for at least a decade. The Zionist regime's attempt to bypass the Palestinian national cause by reaching out directly to the richest Persian Gulf states was just about to succeed when Hamas staged its attack. 7 months later, Palestine is everywhere. All polls show it. Instead, the Zionist regime itself is in the dock of international justice, under court investigation at both the International Criminal Court, which is about to issue warrants for the arrest of Netanyahu and others, and the International Court of Justice for Genocide.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The Supreme Leader's view of Palestine. The history of occupation. How Palestine was occupied. Through a historical process consisting of tens of initiatives by the enemy, Palestine became a Zionist property. A number of globally influential Jews started to think of establishing an independent state for Jews. Of course, they initially thought of going to Uganda and establishing their nation there. For some time, they also thought of going to Tripoli, the capital city of Libya. Then they talked to Italians who were then ruling Tripoli. But Italians rejected their request. Finally, they made a deal with the English. The English had very important colonialist ambitions for the Middle East at that time. They realized that the settlement of the Jews in the Middle East was in their best interest.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The English only wanted to solve their own problems. The occupation of Palestinian lands was based on a multilateral, complex plan which had been designed to prevent Muslim unity and the re-establishment of powerful Muslim governments. There is some evidence that shows the Zionists had close relations with the Nazis, and the exaggerated figures about the number of Jews massacred was itself used as a tool to attract global sympathy and prepare the ground for occupying Palestine and justifying the crimes committed by the Zionists. There is even some evidence to suggest that some non-Jewish thugs from East Europe were sent to Palestine as Jews in order to establish an anti-Islamic government at the heart of the world of Islam, using the support for surviving victims of racism as a cover. They wanted to create a chasm between the western and eastern part of the Muslim world. In the beginning, Muslims were taken by surprise because they were not aware of the nature of the Zionists and their western supporters' plan. The Ottoman Empire was defeated. The victors of the World War signed the Sykes-Picot Agreement in secret to carve up the Muslim countries of the Middle East region between themselves. The international community gave Palestine's custody to the English, who promised to help the Zionists. The English brought Jews to Palestine with a set of well-thought-out plans and displaced Muslims from their homes.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
The Olympic Games are designed to be the time when global political differences are put aside with the hope that global harmony is every nation's ultimate goal. Unfortunately, the Olympics have long appeared to be under disproportionate Western control, and they have repeatedly politicized the Games to advance their agenda. This year in Paris, Russia and Belarus have been banned from the opening ceremonies, and their athletes who actively support the war in Ukraine are totally banned. If even temporary sports-related harmony is not possible, then many say equality would be the next best thing. That explains the global campaign to ban Israel from the Olympics for their horrific attempted genocide and ethnic cleansing in Gaza.
Right after their invasion, Russia was immediately banned from the Olympics. And yet, after more than half a year of carnage and murder, it is totally unacceptable that we are still asking for just one sanction on Israel. The Olympic Committee is clearly in total complicity with Israel, and we can't accept this in France.
As you just said, it's a double standard. It's a double standard. And besides that, the Olympic game, as I said earlier, is a game about like bringing all the nations together with solidarity, peace, and that's not the mood of the genocide. And that's why we ask for the state who's committing genocide to be sanctioned, because that doesn't respect the value of the Olympic Games.
On the rare times when the Olympics are not held in Western nations, mainstream media coverage is almost uniformly negative of the host country. But this time, Western arms and support for the unprecedented bombing and massacre of Gaza appears certain to discredit France and their allies.
I don't know if our leaders will listen to us. They certainly don't have a very good track record of that. But the people of France do not support this genocide, and the Olympic Committee should not either.
It appears certain that many individual athletes and nations will refuse to compete against Israel, even if the Olympic Committee continues to side with Tel Aviv and their war.
There is a non-binding United Nations resolution known as the Olympic Truce, which encourages countries to avoid war during the Games. Many say that if Israel continues its genocidal campaign during the Olympics, it could provoke unprecedented outrage on behalf of long-suffering Palestine. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Students across the country are demanding that their universities and colleges disclose their universities and institutions' ties to the Israeli regime, and, at the same time, divest from them. This has been met with heavy police crackdown, resulting in the arrest of thousands of students, and even including the expulsion of students and them being fired from their jobs. Public colleges and private universities alike are seeing the rise of a new student movement that is more militant and assertive than prior calls for justice.
So we are a generation that says no to these wars, these imperialist interventions into colonialism, and says that we deserve an education that is dedicated to human rights and liberation for all, and that if we don't get it from our elite institutions, we'll build it ourselves.
In the United States, ties to Israel exist at the systematic level. Everything from student exchange programs to institutions being used for technology that will eventually be used by the Israeli regime, including artificial intelligence technology used for surveillance.
We see that the University of Chicago has investments in General Dynamics and Raytheon and Boeing that all fund the bombs that are being dropped on Gazan families. And so we have a responsibility to be here, to camp here and to tell the university to divest.
Brutal tactics are being used by the police, who in the United States also receive training from the Israeli regime specifically on repression to stifle the